Good afternoon. This is Dr. Saul Goldstein. The opinions expressed by these two, fellows, colored folks, may or may not be the opinions of their employers or mine. Holler at me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chop Soccer Podcast, episode 58. This is your host, Rox Fontaine, and...
It's your boy, Ken. And, Rox, I got a question for you. I got two questions for you, actually.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so the first one, I'm going to see if you know what this is.
I just want you to know how I feel, how I feel.
You know what Outkast that's from?
That is from Feeling Good, Feeling Great. Feeling great, feeling good. How are you?
Yeah. Okay. Your backpack card is
What's
in
the name of the song, though? I forgot. It's on the speaker box low below. I know that.
Yeah, anyway. It's on speaker box. It's on the speaker box side. It's on the big boy side. Second question.
Can I have a nigga for a day? At least one day out of the week. Whew, I'm so sick of nigga.
That is a little more difficult. Good luck with that.
All right.
I don't really have a response for you on that one, so kind of on your own. I'll throw in my support where I can, but an absolutely free day? Yeah, I've been here on this earth quite a long time, and I don't think I have one yet. Y'all know what time it is, man. We kick it off with Center Circle, weekend games, transfers, rumors, all that type of good stuff. Ken, I was away this weekend. What did you get into while I was running the streets?
Actually, before we get into that, do you just want to get into the shits and try to figure out the mixy rankings, see who's number one, number two? You just want to get to the shits?
Let's go for it.
Because, I mean, we were both pretty mixy this weekend.
Okay.
I think it was coming off, might have been coming off back-to-back mixy weekends for me. Mm-hmm.
Well, that would make you number one.
That would make me number one?
Ooh, maybe.
Dang, I just told on myself. but yeah, let's see. So, where do we want to start? Saturday. Okay. So, Man United, Man City, watch that. Let's see. That might be all I watched on Saturday. Oh, I watch Bayern because I always watch Bayern. Sunday was the big day for me, because Arsenal played, Venezia played. Big shouts to Venezia, man. Oh my
God. They cooked Roma, didn't they?
Oh my God. Lucio played good. Yeah. Like, they beat Roma 3-2. Anytime Mourinho loses, that's good. And that was all my morning before I went and got mixy at the Red Stars when.
Yes, sir.
Smoked on that Carly Lloyd pack.
I love it and I hate it. I love it and I hate it. I love that, you know, Carly is out of here, but man, I wanted Gotham to go on, man.
Nah.
Not necessarily at your expense, but why couldn't they both go?
Nah. I mean, for real, for what it's worth. Also, your boy was 2-for-2 on his predictions. What is that? Ken Stradamus. I need some Ken Stradamus music. But Ken Stradamus was 2-for-2.
I don't have to explain what's understood, man.
I had the Red Stars, and I had the Spirit winning. It's pretty easy to predict NWSL, though, if you go chalk most of the time. Yeah. So we got Mixie at the Red Stars game. Gotham had a chance to, like, really shoot up the rankings, and they didn't. They dropped a lot of points towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
And it was because they couldn't score goals.
Yep.
And they didn't score a goal here. So, I mean, like, you know, you got to score goals.
Who was up top for that game? I didn't catch it. Was Ife up top?
No, I don't think she started. I think they were playing like a 4-2-3-1. I can't remember who was on the left, but Carly. Carly was up top for almost that whole game. She might have played that whole game.
There you go.
And I mean, she wasn't doing that to Sarah Gordon. Like, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I get it, I guess, because Sarah Gordon doesn't really get the, I guess, like, respect she deserves. But I mean, Scott Parkinson used to coach here. Like, he should know what's up with Sarah Gordon. And he should know that there was no way that, like, Carly Lloyd was going to have anything for Sarah Gordon.
Yeah.
Like, and that allowed, like, Tierna Davidson, who's a, like, you know, women's national team, like, regular, to, like, push up and get involved in play. And I mean, like, it just wasn't going to happen. Wasn't going to happen.
Well, but, yeah, they had a solid season. They'll be back stronger next year.
Yeah, I think in the way the shakeups go, they would be my team on the rise for next year, because they are another one of the teams in NWSL with, like, a young core.
Yeah,
that has, like, exciting national team players, right?
Yeah.
So.
Dope, man. Not bad. Not bad. Not bad.
Oh, and my Braves won the World Series last week. So,
yeah, I saw that. I was like, I know this man is going crazy somewhere. I don't know where or what exactly, but I know something's going down.
Ordered some pearls.
What?
What?
You ordered pearls?
Yeah. Why wouldn't I?
Like a necklace, a bracelet?
Yes. Yes. Oh, you don't know Young Jock.
Bro, what the hell are you talking about?
Okay, our outfielder, Jock Peterson, he wears pearl necklace.
Oh.
And he's from Atlanta, so I call him Young Jock. I don't know why that hasn't caught on. I feel like I'm not the only person that's like thought of that, because, you know, but like I call him Young Jock. And he has a pearl necklace. So tell us about you being out here, being Mixie.
Yeah, man. I was out in Oakland, bounced around a little bit. I went to see a former neighbor. He used to live in the building with us.
Mm-hmm.
She moved out to Oakland for work. So we went out to see her because she's been out there 2 years. She's been back here a few times, but we were like, you know, let's take advantage of the opportunity, go out there and, you know, have somebody that we know. So we did that. I was in Oakland all day Friday, caught the Oakland Roots versus Locomotive watch party downtown Oakland. That was dead fire. I had such a great time. Big up to Oakland Roots, man, and just how they do they whole shit, man. It wasn't far away from the Oaklandish store. So if you needed some gear to go to the watch party, you could stop off in Oaklandish, pick up some new stuff. They had some t-shirts for members at the watch party and, like, you know, member package stuff. They were selling season tickets, of course. They had some food and drinks there, and it was really nice. So they had a game on an inflatable projector screen, and then they had it projected onto the side of a building. So it was huge, probably like damn near a two-story screen, almost IMAX size or something like that. It was really dope. Excellent turnout, great energy. Everybody was really into the game, enjoying it, biting their nails through the whole episode. It was really, really fun. And the music was great. They had a performance at halftime. So shout out to Kevin Allen and the Grand National team. That was super dope, though really, really short. They only did like a half a song, really. Kind of one song and then like a snippet of another one.
But, you know, they were there and they were involved. It was very community driven. It was cool to see them, you know, in person like that. So I had such a good time. And that was the only game I caught that weekend, because after that, I was just running. So the next day I was in San Francisco. The hills over there, man. Holy shit. I've seen it in movies and TV and stuff like that. But when you see it in person, it is truly outrageous, bro. Some of those hills we were on, where it felt like I was going straight up. I was like, this is crazy. I did not enjoy that about San Francisco at all. But we milled around there for a little bit, got some food, did a little bit of shopping. Then Sunday, I went to Marina. So once we got down there in the Pebble Beach area, Monterey area, we did the 17-mile loop, stayed on the beach that night, got some food there. And then Monday was back to Oakland. Ran around a little bit. And then Tuesday, I was back on the plane and back to the world. So nice little mini vacation, quick escape. Can't complain at all. Had a good time, man.
Word. Round of applause. Yo, don't bury the lead how you was stunting on other people's Twitter.
Oh man, that's funny. Yeah, listen, man, let me talk my shit real quick, man. The picture's out there, it is what it is. But this is how I do soccer, man. Like, Oakland roots are not, I'm coming out fresh. And when I first started doing this shit in 2015, everybody used to look at me crazy. Why are you wearing that? Why are you dressed like that? Yada 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 yada. It was to the point where the team, remind you, these are professional soccer players, and they used to walk out on the side of the stadium after every game. So we'd be out there hanging out, whatever, shooting shit. And I'd be Adidas down, like I'm with the team. Adidas athletes would be walking by like, where the fuck did you get that shit? I'm just like, bruh, I got archive. I pick up things. I dig deeper. It just is what it is. That's my way of expressing myself in and around the game. I dig deeper for fresher shit, and I come the way I would dress any other way to soccer. So, you know, being recognized in that way by Oakland Roots, you know, they seeing me in the fit, like it was literally a sea, not a sea, but it was probably 100 people or so, 150 people there, all probably diehard Oakland Roots fans. I just showed up, you know, to indulge in the vibes with them. And I was the only one wearing the shirt that I was wearing. So, you know, that made me stand out. And then, of course, there's, you know, gradient pattern, and I had the matching shoes and all that. But that's how I'm coming regardless. So as I, you know, get back outside a little more and, you know, get that feeling back, I just want to remind y'all, I do this, bro. I do this.
Oh, you out here restoring the feeling?
Restoring the feeling, man. I've been inside a long time, bro. We slowly creeping back out there. It used to be I would probably do, you know, MLS regular season is 34 games. I would do all home games. You know, the first 5 years of NYCFC's existence, I've said this on the pod before, I never missed a home game or a regional game ever in 5 years. I was at every single one, plus away trips for that season. So, you know, outside of the regional ones, I would do like a Chicago or an Atlanta or a Montreal, Dallas even. You know, here and there. So I would just bounce around all year, going to games, doing different stuff. So these last 2 years have been kind of, or year and a half really, have just been so out of character for me. And it just kind of changes you a little bit. But now that I'm slowly creeping back out, it's reinvigorating me to get back to what I was doing before. Cause that's when I was having the most fun, is I was just running the streets, being fresh, doing hood shit while everybody was at the bar. And that's just how it go.
Rock Fontaine.
Yes, sir. Let's get into these short corners, man. We done talked enough. First one we got on deck. Nike has re-upped on their deal for U.S. soccer. So they will be the supplier of U.S. men's national team, U.S. women's national team for 9 more years. That's a long time, man. Is this good or bad?
Where else are they going to go? Like, for real. Like, where else was the U.S. going to go? Right.
They could have gone anywhere. I'm sure there were people who would take the deal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are people that take the deal. But what other American brand would they go to?
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, there's no...
Because, like, you can't go to Adidas. Like, no. I mean, you could.
You but could, that, but you can't. You shouldn't.
Yeah, you shouldn't, right? So, like, where do you go?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I hate to be like, this is like, this isn't news, but like, I mean, you know, in other news, like, you know, like water is wet. Like,
yeah, 100%.
You know, I couldn't imagine a USA like Adidas jersey, like, because I feel like anything U.S. national team that I've ever known from any sport has been Nike.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But aside from that, for me, you kind of not thinking outside the box enough.
Why? Like, where, what other, I mean.
Under Armour, bro.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Under Armour. No. Hold on. Let me load up. Because Under Armour is overrated out here.
Regional, maybe.
If you are wearing like Under Armour apparel, if you're an athlete that wears Under Armour like underwear or like the thermal stuff, like, that's one thing. Like, if you are wearing like the sports stuff, if you're in the Under Armour apparel market, that's very typecast, bro.
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean,
it's kind of hard for me to argue against Under Armour right now in this specific window in my life because they do Navy gear and their Navy shit is fire, bro.
Yeah, but you mean like the feds Navy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's my point.
Oh my God.
What? Like, it's typecast as the feds. Like, anybody I know in Under Armour, like, that wears Under Armour, like gets like deep cuts out of the Under Armour catalog. Yeah. Like, I just
Jakes.
Thank you to Jakes. Like, that don't mean I have any problem with you, but I mean, like, that is a very identifying trait. Like, you know, like the same way you used to see motherfuckers in AGC boots. Like,
oh my God, he's from DC.
Oh my God. No, if
bring
you
bring out the Wale mixtape.
No, those jeans are different. Like, if you got. If you got regular cut jeans and AGCs on, bro,
sheesh.
I know what's up.
Matter of fact, here you go. What's more worrisome to see coming at you running at full speed?
Okay.
ACG boots or black on black Air Force?
Probably AGC boots.
ACG boots,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Probably the boots, because yeah, Air Force Ones, you can juke somebody in some Air Force Ones. Somebody running at you in AGC boots probably has a gun.
Or a Hawk, one of the two. Oh my God. But yeah, big up to Nike and U.S. soccer. Let's see what they come with for the next whatever number of years. I don't think 9 years is correct. I know the tweet said, here's to the next 25, but I don't think it's quite that long. But anyway, like you said, water is wet. Nike, U.S. soccer sticking together. In other news, we have CBS is doing it again. This Paramount Plus app is the shit, bro. They have now upped the streaming wars and gotten FAWSL coming to Paramount Plus service. So Paramount Plus is clear and away the app to have if you are mad about soccer. If all you want to do is watch as much soccer as possible, Paramount Plus, without question. Cam, what are you thinking on this move? I know you were a big fan early on when they first started making these types of acquisitions.
I think, okay, so this is kind of good and this is kind of bad. But like, so ESPN and Paramount Plus are by far and away the two like streaming services you want to have if you want to watch a lot of soccer.
I don't rock with ESPN like that, but you're right.
If you want to watch almost all the soccer there is to watch, all you need is Paramount Plus and ESPN Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or a Fire Stick.
Yeah, or a Fire Stick. But like, I really don't like the Fire Stick. I'll pay for soccer. Soccer is one of the few things I pay for, because commentary in soccer is way more important than any other like sport, I feel like.
Yeah. Except for maybe UFC.
Maybe UFC. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like Paramount Plus has essentially decided they're going to try to like lean heavily into like national team soccer and women's soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got all the CONCACAF stuff, and then they have all, so, well, they have the Italian league, then they have CONCACAF stuff. They have a couple of other leagues. Then they have the NWSL. They have the Champions League and the Women's Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have FAWSL. So in comparison, ESPN has more like international leagues because they have La Liga. They have the German league, and then they have the Dutch league, and I think they have the Belgian league. They have the FA Cup. You kind of see what I'm saying?
Yep.
But they don't, notably, they don't have any women's football, or they don't have a lot of women's football.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, it seems like Paramount Plus is really leaning into like a domestic American market in that way.
Yeah.
And like ESPN is like kind of conceding the fact that they're not going to get a lot of American soccer, because they do have the MLS and they have the USL.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I think that's more part of their world strategy.
Yeah.
Right. Of just owning the worldwide rights to like all of these leagues.
Yeah.
Like in some way or another.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's all to the positive for the soccer fan. You know, as these apps compete, you know, ESPN is kind of taking a global approach. Paramount Plus, the local approach, which means we get all the soccer right here. So I'm here for it. I have both. I subscribe to Paramount Plus separately, and then I have ESPN and the, you know, Disney Hulu bundle or whatever.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it's all dope, man. It's the only thing that annoys me is blackouts, man. If like, if we could sort out blackout games, that would be amazing, because that is just the most annoying thing in the world.
Oh, because the local rights of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That always drives me up the wall, but you know, it is what it is. And other news, Trinity Rodman, she had an incredible season. Is still out there getting it done at a very, very high level. They are moving forward in the playoffs. But after her first playoff game, she made a very, very personal post on Instagram that really blew my mind. And it was a picture of her leaning into her father, who is NBA legend Dennis Rodman, the rebound god. The post states, "This last game was an extremely emotional one. Yes, Dennis Rodman showed up to an NWSL game, but also my dad, after years, surprised me at a big game in my career. I was shocked, overwhelmed, happy, sad, everything. My dad doesn't play a big role in my life at all, and most people don't know that. We don't see eye to eye on many things. I go months, if not years, without his presence or communication. Being in spotlights has been hard for us, him and me. We don't have the best relationship, but at the end of the day, he's human and I'm human. He's my dad and I'm his little girl. That will never change. I will improve and look forward every day as I hope he does. Man, this is a lot. And I was proud of her, sad for her, happy for her, related to it, didn't understand, had a slight grievance with him showing up in his t-shirt with his own face on it. But, you know, kudos to her for having this extremely private moment and public. Ken, what did you think on this?
I feel really bad for her that she had to address this in this way, because what this says to me is people don't understand who Dennis Rodman, the person, like, is or was. And, like, as a general sports fan, like, whenever people talk about, like, Dennis Rodman, like, it's well known that, like, he didn't have a great relationship with, like, his children and things like that, like, while he was in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
And, like, this is his daughter, so, like, I hate to, like, be like a in the know like hipster or whatever, but I mean, like, this doesn't surprise me, I guess, as much as it does, like, you know, anyone else, because I guess because she's so, like, well adjusted and, like, just so, like, awesome, I guess, like, just in all facets, right? Like, she's an amazing player. She's a cool person. Like, she has great style. Like, she has a really, like, you know, awesome, like, you know, demeanor. Like, you know, I guess people just don't associate, like, Dennis Rodman with her, but Dennis Rodman's her father.
Yeah.
And if you've watched that 30 for 30 or, like, The Last Dance, like, a lot of people say they watch this stuff. I don't actually think they do.
Facts.
You know, but, you know, I just, I feel bad that she has to address this in public, like, in this moment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's one for one. By the way, Ken Stradamus strikes again. She's gonna be rookie of the year. I told you she was gonna be rookie of the year. She shouldn't even have to do this right now, but, you know, because, you know, I guess people haven't been doing their research, or they don't really understand, like, you know, who her father is. Like, you know,
yeah,
you get this at this moment, and I really feel bad that that's what she had to spend that energy on.
Yeah, I don't know if she had to do it. I think she needed to do it for herself and for people to understand that, like, if y'all see him again, or if y'all see us, like, give it space. Like, don't be, because, you know, they're both celebrities now, right? And you know how fangirly people can be, and that's not a, you know, a matter of disrespect, but fans can be kind of obnoxious at games for one reason or another. And, you know, people coming up and like, oh, Dennis, your daughter, and blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, I don't know, bro, like that. You know what I mean? So I think it was just something she just needed to say to people, like, it's already weird. So, like, please, y'all, don't make it weird if y'all see us.
I definitely get that.
Yeah.
I just wish people would stay out of other people's business.
Facts. But, I mean, I can understand it, you know, in the context of soccer. You know, it's, you know, very communal, and everybody's kind of like, you know, not knowing everything, but everybody's very close to each other, and, you know, everything is charity and help each other and lovey-dovey and blah, blah, blah. So
you think Dennis is vexed?
Do I think he's vexed? Ooh. Hmm.
Damn, I'm gonna edit that out.
I don't know. I don't know. He might not be. Last short corner for this week. The U.S. Women's National Team roster has been announced. We have some new names in the pot, man. Goalkeepers, Bella Bixby, Jane Campbell, Casey Murphy. Defenders, Alana Cook, Abby Dahlkemper, Tierna Davidson, Emily Fox, Sofia Huerta, Becky Sabron, Emily Sonnet. Midfielders, Lindsay Horan, Boo, Rose Lavelle, Katarina Macario, Christy Mewis, Ashley Sanchez, Andy Sullivan. Forwards, Bethany Balcer. How do you pronounce that? Balcer? Balcare?
I don't know. Don't give me
Ashley Hatch. Midge Purse. Yes, sir. Forwards. Let me repeat that. Forwards. Ashley Hatch. Midge Purse. Sophia Smith, Lynn Williams, and Morgan Weaver. Woo, we got younger. We got younger. This is a very interesting national team. Their next match will be versus Australia, and we will get a look at this new look U.S. Women's National Team. What's the over-under on this team capturing some sort of hardware within this first 2 years?
I don't know, because I don't believe this is going to be the team that actually plays like a competitive game.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean,
missing a lot of names for sure.
Yeah. But the question is, you know, so the question always is with these lineups is like, you know, how many big names are going to get called back in when you have to start like cutting people down? You know what I mean? Because like it's kind of the end of the generation for the women's national team, but you kind of have people in that early 30s, not exactly late 30s range, or that can still like, you know, contribute at probably like a 60-70 minute level, you know, which once you get into rotating, like, you know, kind of buys you like a lot of minutes in that way. So, like, you know, how many of these players are actually going to be there, like, you know, when, like, a competitive game is played? Because Australia is not a competitive game.
I can tell you one that's going to be there.
You think so? As a forward?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man.
Midge Purse.
We've seen them do this to Midge before.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But she's going to be a forward, bro. Watch this.
No, I mean, okay. Okay. Y'all were saying the same thing about the Olympics. And, okay. Yeah. I'm just going to have to own that. Yeah. Yeah. No. Standing on that. You got to stand on it. Got to get.
The Olympics were like, we thought. Management was going to have some sense and say, you know, this squad is kind of aged out. But now they are like actually aged out. So I am in full belief that Mitch.
Yeah, but we've seen him do it before. And 100%. I mean, like, you know, I'm not saying she won't be in there. I'm just saying when you look at the names that are missing off of this list, a lot of them fill positions like where some of these young players are going to get left off, especially in the midfield and like forward positions. So, I mean, yeah, they might put Midge at defense again.
Bruh, please don't. Please do not. But yeah, it's a good news to see those young names out there getting a call up. Make your mark a little bit with a little more space to do that, a little less politics, a little more room to grow. So we'll see what happens. You know, there's plenty of time, plenty of games to be played to make those statements, and we'll see how it all develops. It's at the halftime. Music picks for the previous week. Did you find anything new? Are we going to have the same pick? I feel like we should have the same pick. But anyway, let's find out. What you got?
Well, no, I'm just going to nip this shit in the bud. I did not listen to the Summer Walker album. We'll get to that in a second.
Boo this man.
Boo. Well, here's what I heard about the Summer Walker album.
That shit is a two-pack of ass.
What? Bro, you heard that from who?
People on London's side. Bro, you know, okay, hold on. Let me get to my at the half. And let me tell you why I'm in no rush to listen to the Summer Walker album after that. Okay. So All This Love is probably the best DeBarge album that there is. If I had to rank them, I probably end up with All This Love number one. And for people who might not know who DeBarge is, but they were kind of the end of Motown.
That's crazy when you think about
it. Yeah, they were like the last of the big Motown artists. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was in like the 80s. That was kind of it. Yeah. But All This Love is a great, it's just a great like crooning album. It's a bunch of R&B singing. I don't know why I was listening.
Some light skinned shit.
I had a problem. Oh my God. That is such light skin. All right. Anyway. Yeah, DeBarge, All This Love. And I'm in no rush to listen to the Summer album because London produced like more than half the tracks. Like London on the track produced more than half the tracks. And the album's supposed to be about him. So like if you are giving it up, like, you know, if this is like future level, like toxic, right? Like,
yeah, 100%.
Like, I don't care that this album's about me. My name's on half of these album credits. I'm in no rush to listen to that toxic shit. Oh my God.
Oh, I thought you liked toxic.
I mean,
man.
I do.
You pump fake, Ken.
No, that's like a special level of toxic. I mean, I'm gonna listen to it. I just,
yeah.
I don't know, man. That's not where my energy's been past couple weeks. So
nice. Well, Summer Walker's album, Still Over It, is my pick because I played it just out of curiosity. I didn't really listen to the first one. I know a couple songs just because they were that, you know, popular in the hood. But I wasn't like checking for a Summer Walker. So out of curiosity, I opened this album up and it was like, this is like real R&B sonically. And that was refreshing. So, and not just real R&B, but real R&B from a black person. So I enjoyed listening to her talk about all this horrible, horrible, toxic stuff. But, you know, I can detach from it in that way. I'm not trying to live that or, you know, be captioning that shit in my Instagram or none of that. But just sonically, soulfully, album is on point, bro. Album is on point. I think you'll like it, to be honest. Especially in the way that she addresses some of the things you just talked about. You know, there's a skit in there from Cardi B where Cardi B calls and says, like, you know, all this spiteful shit that, you know, woman X is doing. Like, don't sweat that. Just put it in your music and do it in a beautiful way. And you tell the story yourself. Don't let nobody feel like they have a one up on you. And, you know, of course, she ended it in true Cardi B fashion with a fuck these bitches. And then the album goes on and just tells the story of, you know, the things that she's been going through, you know, true or not true. But I just thought it was really well done. Very, very soulful. Some of the harmonies in there were absolutely outrageous. I was like, yeah, this is real R&B, and I like that a lot. So that's my pick for this week, y'all. Get into that Summer Walker, still over it. It's out on all the platforms. And if you real, real classic, go cop it on physical media. Salsa toss time, my guy. We got three up in the mix today. No, two. I'm sorry. The first is a little bit late in the cycle now, but it's still dope news. The New England Revs, the last holdout from the original 96ers, they held on to that quote-unquote crayon logo for a long damn time, man, 25-plus years, but they finally said, you know what? It's time to remix.
Remix. Oh, I got to put and that on the soundboard.
They dropped a new club badge. Real quick, Ken, saucer toss on the New England Revolution's new identity.
Hot fire. Don't forget the super!
Yes, sir. Right.
Yeah, this is a sauce for me. I'm about to get my Vineyard Vines flow off with this shit, bro.
Hell yeah. Oh, my. Yes. I'm
Yo,
here for
you're
this.
Not going to be able to tell.
Pass the fucking loafers,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, bro. Have the penny loafers on this motherfucker. Oh, my God. Yeah. No, this is dope to me. This is kind of why I want to just become general MLS fan. Because when it comes to like apparel, like MLS as a collective, you can piece together some fly MLS apparel. Like a little bit from here,
especially
bit from
if
there.
Your name is Rox Fontaine. Rox Fontaine. Yeah, man, this shit goes hard. Sauce for me as well. I much prefer it without the white outer circle. Just that bunting and the R. Oh, man, this is hard, bro. I actually wonder if, what's his name did this? The one that's done all the club badges recently. He did the third rail logo too. What the hell? Matt Wolf. I wonder if Matt Wolf did this. If not, whoever did this, absolutely fantastic job. And you got to give them proper respect for getting the timing so incredibly right on this. In your most successful season ever, you switch up the logo and you just like significantly mark a whole new path forward for your club and style and identity. And it just worked out so, so perfectly. And on top of that, you know, like you said last episode, I think it was, you said, you know, you don't have to get it perfect, but you can't miss, right? Yo, they hit the fucking mark with this. The bunting, the style of the R, just the way it's all pieced together, absolutely incredible. And you know they coming with the shirt with the sash across it to match this. That's going to be fire. Next one we have up, Adidas and LAFC are at it again. So I want to say 2 years ago, they dropped a limited edition LAFC Samba shoe. Now they are back with a second drop, but this time there are three shoes in the drop. They're all Sambas, but three variations of the classic Samba shoe. Can Saucer Toss, you want to go individually or as a set?
Individually, because I don't think they're all sauces.
Okay, the first one up is this off-white color bone gum sole, camel / off-white suede with Los Angeles gold detailing, white laces. Saucer Toss.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Yeah, those are saucy. I like the towel fabric on them. I like the gummy sole. These are sauce. Like I like way the colorway kind of balances, and the shoelaces are still white.
Bruh.
That's a sauce for me.
Yeah. Sauce for me too. This shoe is absolutely incredible. Samba is a, you know, a soccer staple, a streetwear staple. So, you know, it's something that's timeless. Whether your team is good or bad, whatever is going on, you know, you can put these on and feel good about yourself and your club for being fucking cool.
Yeah.
And these are absolutely cool, man. So You know, I wouldn't, you know, the thing that will really set this off for me is touching that leather. I need to see how soft that is. If it's soft like K leather, oh my God, bro. These just go to a whole other leather. A whole other leather. A whole other level. Because now you have three types of leather on the same shoe. You have the smooth leather, then you have the rugged suede on the side and the three stripes, and then you have the Nubuck cap toe. That's clean as a whistle. Then next up, we have a black pair, black on black. This also says LA, but this one has the fold over tongue with the LAFC on the side and then LA logo embossed on the tongue. Saucer toss on these, Ken.
Great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Oh my God, Ken.
What?
You gowns these.
Yeah, because I mean, they're not bad, but I mean, like, I think they could do without the tongue.
OMG.
Like, I wouldn't want that flapping around when I'm walking.
It doesn't flap around. All right. You don't want it. Yeah. I'm just saying it doesn't flap around, but you're not having it.
Okay, well. I still wouldn't want it. I just imagine it flapping around, I guess.
Man, that's a stash spot. That's where you put your, you know.
In the plug of your shoe?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never had drugs you would love in them. My shoes.
Bob Marley used to wear those, bro. These are a sauce for me as well.
I didn't sauce them. I tossed them.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
No. I gounced them.
But, yeah, I'm saying these are a sauce for me in addition to the first pair. These are just super clean. Black on black, suede, smooth leather, black midsole, tongue embossed. The one thing I'm going to do to these, though, if it was me, I'm definitely switching out the black laces and putting in gold flake ones without question. Without question. That's the only touch to add. I'm pretty sure they will come in the box with them. But if they don't, go and get them. And then these are all the way right. This is a really nice shoe. And then finally, there is a customized version that's been done by Factory 8384. I don't know this group at all, but yeah, they did this special version of the Samba. This one is also off-white, but it has black detailing around it. Some LAFC supporter information on there. So it says Los Angeles across one piece, shoulder to shoulder on the other. You have LAFC near the three stripes. You have the MLS logo in there. Yeah, a lot going on here. Similar to the first pair, but slightly remixed. Ken, saucer toss.
Great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, I just realized that lace thing is gold.
I mean, I don't know. They are, man. There's a lot going on here. There is a lot going on here. And I mean, I don't know if it looks good or looks bad. So, like, I'm just going to gown it because I don't think it's bad.
Yeah. But you don't know that it's good.
Yeah. I don't know that it's good.
Yeah. These are also a sauce for me. This pack is just dope. I love anything that Adidas does where they give, you know, unknown, quote unquote, creators an opportunity to create something and, you know, you have a winner and it ends up with something like this. I'm here for that. I've participated in some of their night school projects here in New York and, you know, they've done giveaways and stuff like that. I ended up getting a free pair of boosts from them in one of the night schools. And, you know, those are really cool opportunities that can help boost the confidence of somebody or, you know, add to the portfolio somebody who's already working. Just all these different things to it. So, you know, Factory 8384, getting this done and out to the public, fans are going to go crazy for it, I'm sure, in LA. Even not in LA, there will be collectors trying to get these to resell them and stuff like that. That's the energy you need around the game of soccer. We don't want it because, you know, as soccer nerds in our little bubble, we want to, you know, have our things to ourselves and not really share our toys. But if we really want this shit to grow like we keep saying we do, like, you need the casual people to come in and find something else to attach to. And these sneakers are one of those things. So I hope these do incredibly well. I hope everything sells out and people can't get them. And, you know, it's a really, really cool thing for the LA community to have. And when they spot each other in these shoes, they could be like, yo, you got a pair? That's fire. For the last Saucer Toss this week, this one is not really a visual. It is just a name. So San Diego NWSL Club has been named, and their name is The Wave. Ken, Saucer Toss on the name San Diego Wave.
Hot fire. Don't forget the super! Mm-hmm.
Low key, the more you say it, the more I like it.
Yeah. It's not bad.
No. I mean,
and it brings fun to, you know, like a Gotham, like, that's really fun.
Yeah.
And not, you know, tied down to what the men are doing. You know, San Diego Wave is in that same vein. Like, they can pick up where MLS has kind of dropped off and went all FC this and United that, and just do their own shit. So this is super dope for the league's branding and identity. And it's super fun for me as a fan watching all of this. So I can, you know, find some new stuff to be interested in, see some new designs and jerseys and all that sort of stuff.
Well, people are talking about how whitewashed they made this, but, like, I mean,
it's San Diego.
No, I mean, there's a lot of diverse, like, stretches of San Diego. I just wondered what they think NWSL was.
Mm.
Like, you know, we've seen this. Like, what did you think Jill Ellis was going to come up with? Oh. Exactly. Sorry. I didn't realize I was taking shots. But, yeah, what did you think Jill Ellis was going to come up with? So, you know, I mean, it's tight. Like, it reminds me of, like, Southern California, like, Hollister, like, shit. But, I mean, that's what you associate with California. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, I don't know what they could have come up with that would have been more California than this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. This is definitely like a Visit San Diego, like, PSA.
Yeah.
Like, highlight reel, like, splash with some soccer shit.
Bro, this shit is super ass, bro. I don't, like, I saw it and I was just like, that's it. And now we have, you know, a moment where we're going to have the current versus the wave. So that is definitely going to be a thing. I hope it's a cool thing. I saw some tweets floating around with some possible derby names. Please don't try to make it a derby. If it becomes some sort of water derby, that's great. But please don't force it too much, because y'all have a tendency to do that.
Well, there are two different types of water. 100%. Like, the current is fresh water, because Kansas City's in the middle of the country. And I hope that doesn't become a bigger derby than the California, like, a new Angel City Wave Derby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, there's plenty of time. They're starting in the league next year, so let's see if they get their branding fully in order, unlike Kansas City, and not drop it on us a year after the fact. But, yeah, we got time.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what the colorway, like, how the colorways are going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be pretty good. Run of play this week. Oh, man. This one is not super, super dramatic or anything, but boy, do some people in and around this make it that way. So Detroit City FC, the beacon of NISA for so long, has turned their back on the league and decided, you know what? We're bigger than this. We need to get to the next level where we can make more impact and, of course, more money. So they are joining USL as of the 2022 season. NISA didn't take too kindly to this, and they put out a statement saying that basically, y'all have not fulfilled y'all contractual obligations to NISA, and we wish you well in USL, but not before you complete your business here. Ken, what are your thoughts on DC moving to USL?
You want to talk about this, or you want to talk about this? You want to give them a little extra?
We got to give them a little extra. That's what we're supposed to do.
All right. So I think low-key, if NISA would have spun this differently, this would have been very good for NISA.
How?
Because this is the best you're going to do in this model, right? Like, there's no free movement of teams. So if a team like Detroit City wasn't going to stay in NISA, like, they were always going to leave.
That's not what a certain group of fans thought.
Yeah, I mean, but fans are stupid by and large. So, like, I don't really think about what fans think. Like, when they were, like, they were chatting shit because they were just so happy to be there. And they were, like, chesty because they were winning everything. You know, but no, like, they were never going to stay there because, like, your goal is to push the team, like, into another league, right? Because now that they're in USL Championship, if they make it to USL 1, it won't be long before they have, like, a run at MLS.
But if your whole brand has been built on the idea of you being a beacon for independent soccer, how do you just abandon that model and not alienate a whole swath of your fan base that got you to that point?
Oh, the money will make them feel better. Like,
if it even if it doesn't, it's gonna make them change their motherfucking tune real quick.
Yeah,
and we already saw that.
Yeah, like, they start getting a little money. Like, let a new stadium come to Detroit. Like, let a new soccer specific stadium or some bullshit come to Detroit. They're gonna act like that shit never happened. Like, you know, the tweets might disappear if they haven't disappeared already.
Nah, they ain't going nowhere.
Like, you know, like, nah, they're gonna be on some other shit. So, like, I don't even rate this. And I think NISA probably could have spun this a lot better. Like, they definitely could have been out here like, hey, man, this is what the game is. And this is what we're trying to do. So more clubs. Because, I mean, now NISA has a pretty good record of sending clubs to the USL. Because Oakland went, what was that, a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yep.
Before NISA Nation really got going. And on the strength of that, they did NISA Nation.
Yeah.
And now Detroit's gone. I would be finding another club that I could try to push up.
Well, I mean, they did mention in the statement that they have, you know, four or five on the way in. But I don't think that's their goal. I think they want and kind of need teams to stay within the system, moving up and down within the system.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think they, because, I mean, they're like D4, right?
Yeah, so, like, but the whole point is about proving the viability of promotion and relegation in the United States.
Yeah, but you can't promote from the bottom. Like, you're basically the feeder, right? Like, unless NISA got, like, a Division 3 status, and they could create, like, a promotion relegation between two tiers of the professional system, it was never going to work. Like, that was supposed to be the next phase, and they haven't tried to attempt this next phase yet. So, like, where they are, I just think this is the best thing that could have happened to them. What do you think?
I think it's the way of capitalism in America.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it was not if, it was a matter of when they could, you know, get enough backing behind them, enough money in place, enough resources available to make the move to where wherever it was they were trying to go. Because, you know, they may have wanted to just jump straight from NISA to MLS. You know, you get a billionaire investor or two and, you know, anything is possible. So that part I don't really care about. But what I do care about is how we treat each other about soccer. That's the shit that I'm always talking about and so annoyed about, is some people get so into this shit and dismissive of other people. And that's why I've said on this show, at least on one other occasion, that I don't want nothing to do with nothing Detroit City FC because of their most vocal contingent online. Now, obviously, that's not fair to say, and I wouldn't be like that in actual real life, right? But just in theory, their general approach to being fans of their team meant that they were smarter and better than everybody else about watching soccer, which is in and of itself goofy as hell. But it was made more egregious by just going all crazy about it on everything not NISA. And now that their team is moving to USL, now the whole play is switched. And that shit really stood out to me because it says a lot about the character of people. When you were just saying earlier, like, if you have a take and it's not whatever, stand on it anyway. But they're not doing that. Like, they're trying to pretend like they're standing on it. But what they're really doing is saying, like, oh, we're moving up. We're actually really excited about this because we individually will be more visible. And yeah, we're still going to be the same. And I'm like, actually, you're not going to be the same. Everything is different now. USL is different. You know that. You wrote about it many, many times. And now here we are. So treat each other better, people. It's just soccer. Have more fun. It's a game. Play with this shit. Do music, parties, drink. Laugh, joke. A lot of y'all take this shit way, way, way too serious, man, for just buying some tickets to a damn sporting event. And that shit is whack as hell. So DCFC to USL, as for, you know, the ownership and investors in that, good for y'all. That's the way capitalism works. As for the fan base, let's see what happens. Shit gets real, real different as you move up this chain. So we'll see how y'all adjust. It is headed home time. Ken, what words of wisdom or funny anecdotes do you have for us this week in episode 58?
Hear me good, nigga. I'm here to double down.
I would just like to congratulate a couple of other podcasters out here in the game. 2 cents FC's out here making moves. I believe they made a deal with Shea Butter FC and the For the Culture podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations.
What's the deal? They're on the 2 cents network now?
Uh-huh.
Dope. Uh-huh. Yeah, they got a bunch of pods on there now, a bunch of different stuff. They got some writers. Yeah, that's dope, man. That's a really cool brand.
But also, like to, should I say RIP to some podcasts that haven't been around yet?
Shit.
Or should I just, or should I just leave it at that?
That's none of my business. It's none of my business.
All right.
You know what I'm talking about. Y'all all know what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing to do with that shit. That ain't none of my business. My head at home this week is I'm back outside, man. Check for your boy. Listen, it was really, really good to get out and see something I haven't seen before. I've been to the West Coast a couple of times. but always in SoCal. So getting up a little further north was really, really interesting. And just being out there in that space, I got to do a couple of things that I hadn't gotten to do. So one is like getting some really good vegan soul food. I hit up Vegan Mob, black-owned business in Oakland. They do all vegan everything, but it's all like soul food, like rib tips and shit like that, but none of it's actually meat. That was pretty dope. And the other thing was I got this Pixel phone and I always wanted to try astrophotography. But because I live in the metro area, it's way too much light bleed. I can't ever get a shot of the stars. But being out there on the water and the beach, I was able to do it for the first time. Got some pretty cool shots. It was a little cloudy late at night when I went back out, but I got to do it. And it just reminded me that I'm always looking to explore and adventure and do new things and try things. And, you know, given the circumstances of the last year and a half, I wasn't able to do that. But now as things begin to open back up a little bit and, you know, we can move around with a little less restriction, you know, you still need to be concerned. You still need to take care of yourself and other people, you know, do all the basic things, wash your hands, wear your mask, get vaxxed if you choose to or not to. I ain't here for that discussion, but all of these things at a minimum, take care. And being out and seeing new things reminded me like this is me and my element. And I felt super, super reinvigorated about that. So I'm back outside, bitches. Check for me. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Chop Soccer Podcast, episode 58. This is your host, Rox Fontaine, and...
it's your boy, Ken, and one of these days...
Can I have a nigga for a day? At least one day out of the week.
One day.
I'm so sick of niggas.
Oh, man, you already know what to do, people. Do all the things that help us grow. Like, comment, share, subscribe, download these episodes. Because we need it and we appreciate it. If you want to get in the conversation with us, we are on Twitter at Chop Soccer Pod, on Instagram at Chop Soccer Pod. And you can send comments or suggestions for the show to chopsoccerpod@gmail.com. As always, if you want to show us additional love and support by donating to the show, you can do so at paypal.me/chopsoccerpod. Also, November 20th, the NWSL final is on deck. My homie Ken coordinated with the Loose City Ladies and the Black Fires of Chicago, and they're put together some events and bars and food and drink for you to check out so you can enjoy yourself before and after the game. So tap into that. Check it out on Twitter, Chop Soccer Pod, and on the Chop Soccer website, chopsoccerpod.com. Wait, is it chopsoccer.com?
My just bad. Chopsoccer.com.
Chopsoccer.com. Forgive me, y'all. So go there, check it out, get into the list, donate to the GoFundMe to support the women's shelter. Was it? What's the name?
Center for Women and Families.
Yes, the Center for Women and Families in Louisville, Kentucky. So do all those things. We're going to get some supplies and other things from their wish list. So, you know, obviously, being there is providing for women. They want like diapers and, you know, clothing items, hygiene items, stuff like that. So we want to grab some things, take it over to them, and do our part while we're in Louisville to make at least a small little mark while we are there. So tap into it all. You know how we get down over here at Chop Soccer Pod. We love you. We appreciate you. And you know the vibes.
Good night. Good night, Queens.